me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been in love? Have you ever been in love? Well, I did, and poor of you if you haven't. I still remember my first day when I was a teenager, and probably you too, and you remember that feeling. And maybe you have wrote some poems for her when you were in love, isn't it? And when you write that poem, you don't say something like, I love your beautiful face because of the mathematical symmetry between your two eyes and the perfect equation between your forehand and your mouth. You don't say something like that, isn't it? It is hardly to express your feelings when you are in love. You just find her or him so beautiful. There are not enough words to describe the feeling when you find something beautiful. Beautiful, love, and passion are connected together. We will love the things that we found beautiful, isn't it? If we find something beautiful, we will love it. And if we will love something, eventually we will become passionate for that person or thing. It could be a woman, it could be a man, it could be Manchester United. Some people find football really great and become a love Manchester United. And there are some people that all the time are talking about Man United or Man City, and they are passionate for football. It could be science. It could be almost everything that conquers your heart. It could be the Lord, and it should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you a question tonight. Do you feel passion for the Lord Jesus? Or is it something just intellectual? Do you really find Jesus Christ beautiful, as the most beautiful being in the whole universe? The company Dove, this company that makes products for women, made a research in Canada in March 2011. And they found that between 14 and 29 years old in Canada, 96% of these women between 14 and 29 years old, one of the priorities was to be beautiful, because they thought that they were not beautiful. And that is the general idea that we see in society. We just have to see advertising, a propaganda on the TV. And the idea is, if you are beautiful, people will love you. Therefore, you have to be beautiful. If you are not beautiful, nobody will love you. If you are not intelligent, nobody will love you. And we have this idea that we have to be beautiful. But that's not a biblical idea. I remember the driest time in my life. And the driest time in my life was not when I was serving at church, was not when I was preaching, was not when I was in the world. The driest time in my life, and I still remember that, when I was 3 months, particularly, when I was studying theology in Peru. There was a big debate about theology, and I was invited. And I have 3 months to prepare myself. And I spent these 3 months studying 10 hours a day theology. And after a couple of months, I see Jesus Christ used as a philosophical premise. Something that I have to explain and debate. But I didn't feel anything. It was just mental. And I realized, what has happened with my life? And maybe tonight you feel in the same way. You come every Sunday to church in the morning and in the afternoon. You come to the prayer meeting, but something has happened in your life. It's just something intellectual. You don't feel the same desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anymore like it was before. You are not growing in desiring Jesus Christ. You are not growing in finding him beautiful. Something has happened over the years. Maybe sin, maybe you get used to. My question is, are you growing in holiness? Are you growing in your desire for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm going to talk about that tonight. To try to see Jesus Christ as he really is, the most beautiful being in the whole universe. So you have your Bibles there. Please go to Psalm 25, verse 1. He said, "My heart is stirred with a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." So he, the author, describes how he feels. This is obviously a messianic psalm. Basically, there are two ideas in this psalm. First is that early idea. It's a wedding. Probably it was Solomon who was getting married. And it's an early idea. So this is honor, a wedding. But also, there is a heavenly idea. Because what you see in in Hebrews chapter 1, 8 to 9, Hebrews chapter 1, 8 to 9 says, "But about the Son," talking about Jesus Christ, says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And a scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." And that is verse 6 and 7 in Psalm 45. So we see that in Hebrews, this psalm is applying to Jesus Christ. So there is the early idea about Solomon, but also there is a heavenly idea about Jesus Christ. And this is something really important, and we need to grasp this in order to understand properly the meaning of this psalm. Usually in Hebrew mind, when they quote from the Old Testament, they don't quote the whole chapter. They usually quote one or two verses when they are referring to the whole chapter. So in Hebrews, they are quoting two verses referring to the whole chapter. And this psalm, therefore, is applied to Jesus. So Jesus is the most excellent of men. So he feels, how he feels, his heart is stirred. His heart, the center of his mind, his thoughts. And this word heart is the same word that is used in Psalm 14:1 when it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." So it's not only emotions, but it's his mind, his thoughts, his feeling. Everything is looking at Jesus and finding him beautiful. "My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful driver." Why he feels in that way? Verse 2. "You are the most excellent of men, and your lips has been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever." Why he feels in that way? Why his heart is stirring with this feeling? Why? And the reason is that he finds the king the most beautiful among all men. And there is something interesting here, because this word beautiful is always used in the Bible as a physical beauty. In Song of Solomon, when Solomon said, "How beautiful are your feet in your sandals, O noble of daughter," in Song of Solomon. So this word beautiful is always used for physical beauty. So when I was reading this, the poet is saying to the king, "You are the most beautiful." And God the Father is saying to Jesus Christ, "You are the most beautiful." I can say, hold on. It's not Isaiah 53:2. Isaiah 53:2 says, talking about Jesus Christ, he, Jesus, grew up before like a tender child and like a root of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So, is there a contradiction in the Bible? In Psalm 45, says that Jesus Christ is the most beautiful among the sons of man. But in Isaiah 53, says that Jesus Christ has no beauty on him. He was completely normal when he was on earth. So, is a contradiction here? What he's talking about? I went a couple of months ago to Ireland, and I was in the Giant's Cause. Have you been there? So I was in the Giant's Cause in North Ireland, and I was there with the mother of my pastors and with this old lady, and we were walking by the beach, and we found some rubbish in the beach. It was some yellow and red cardboard on the beach, and it was horrible. And it was rubbish. Something has deliberately has thrown out rubbish. So I was thinking, why the guardians? Why nobody pick up this rubbish? It looks horrible. So I was with my pastor's mom, and we asked to the guardian, "Yes, sir, someone has thrown out rubbish, I mean, yellow and red cardboards on the beach." And the guardian said to me, and said, "Sir, it's not rubbish. It's modern art." And he was serious about it. Some artists, this modern art, contemporary modern, postmodern art, has found this beautiful, but for me it was ugly. And sometimes it's the same. I mean, we have this idea about beautiful. We have this idea about beauty. We see the commercials on the TV, and that is beauty. If I look like Brad Pitt, I will be beautiful. But if I am not like Brad Pitt, if I am normal, so I don't have any chance. But Jesus Christ said that he is the most beautiful man. But he said that he is not beauty. Therefore, his beauty has not to be physical. He's talking about something more, about the beauty of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 1, says about Jesus that he is the perfect image of God the Father. God the Father is the most beautiful being in the whole universe. If there is something beautiful, it's because it looks like God. And because Jesus Christ is the perfect image of God, Jesus is beautiful. And that is the standard of our beauty. And that is really good, because if you sometimes have feel ugly, like me, that gives you hope, because you can be beautiful. Even if you are old, even if you see your body, you will be beautiful. You will be like Jesus, and you can be beautiful inside. Jesus Christ is the most beautiful being on earth. And he say, God has blessed you, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. That word, since God has blessed you forever. In Hebrew, this word is given the cause, or is explaining the reason. His lips. He is the most excellent of men, because God has blessed him. God has blessed Jesus Christ. Therefore, his lips, everything he does, is beautiful. It's not because he's beautiful God has blessed him. No. God has blessed him. Therefore, he is beautiful. And it's the same with God. God is good. Therefore, everything he does is good. Even in his wrath, he is good. God is love. Therefore, everything he does is an expression of his love for his people. Even when you feel alone, even when you are in problems, even when you are in troubles, even when you are suffering, If you belong to the people of God, God is showing His love for you through that suffering. God is good, therefore everything He does is good. Jesus Christ is beautiful. He is the standard of beautiful. Therefore, everything He does is beautiful. And that is a complete different with us. Have you seen, I was last week watching the last James Bond movie, and probably you have seen James Bond already, and I will not tell you the end in case that you haven't seen it. But there is one moment that Daniel Craig, James Bond, he goes back to his job as a James Bond, and this lady, his boss, asks him, "Where have you been?" And James Bond, with his posh Cambridge accent, answered to this lady, "Enjoying being dead. Enjoying being dead." And what he meant for that was basically that all people thought that he was dead, and he was basically living every day in parties, enjoying like a Casanova in the Caribbean, and drinking all the time and with women. And for him, that was enjoying being dead. And I thought that is perfect, a perfect description of a people without God. They enjoying being dead, but they don't realize that they are dead. And maybe you, if you don't have Jesus Christ tonight, maybe you are enjoying your life. Maybe you are enjoying these temporal pleasures. Maybe you are enjoying, I don't know, parties. Well, probably not parties, but you are enjoying a life. But you don't realize that you are dead without Jesus. And one day, if you don't treasure Jesus Christ, you will be dead before God. And the wrath of God will be upon you instead of His love. But tonight you still have the opportunity to repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ, finding Him the most beautiful being on earth. I'm going to my third point because I don't have much time tonight. Gird your sword upon your side, verse 3. Almighty One, clothe yourself with the splendor and majesty. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. Basically, from verse 3 and ahead, he's given the attribute of the king. In his majesty, ride for victory. And he's explaining all the attributes of the king. Explaining all the attributes of Jesus Christ. Finding him beautiful. Henry Scogel say the worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of his love. Basically, we will love the things that we find beautiful. An ugly person, an alcoholic, will love alcohol. And that tells you a lot about the soul of that person. He is ugly inside. Like Dorian Gray, the book by Oscar Wilde, he never was able to see his horrible face on that mirror. And he looks beautiful, but inside was ugly. And he's giving all the descriptions of the king. Get your song upon your side. You are powerful. You are the mighty one. Clothe yourself with the splendor and majesty. He's giving all the attributes of Jesus Christ. And sometimes there is something that we don't understand about Jesus. Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Bible as the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is humble. He's kind. He's a lamb. But there is another picture about Jesus, equally important as the Lamb of God. And in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible tells us about Jesus that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty power that can destroy his enemies, Jews with a sight. Have you seen the movie Narnia? Narnia Chronicles. In Narnia Chronicles, there is a small girl called Lucy. And Lucy, this small girl, plays with a big lion called Aslan. Aslan basically means lion. And even though that this big lion, which in Narnia Chronicles represents Jesus Christ, is huge, powerful, he's able to play with a little girl. He's able to play with a little girl. He can destroy Satan like that if he wants. He's holding the universe in his hand. But he's able to have fellowship with a little girl. And that is a better picture of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is holding the universe. He's mighty and powerful. But he is able and he wants to have fellowship with you. Open your eyes and see the mighty beauty of Jesus. He says in verse 3, clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. I was reading a commentary, and basically they say that this phrase, clothe yourself with splendor and majesty, was some kind of phrase or epitome that was applied to the kings. They found in Akkadian scriptures and Aramaic scriptures that basically when a king were to war, they say, clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. And what did they mean was this, conquer for your splendor. The meaning is that the king is so glorious, so splendorous, that only because of his splendor he is able to conquer. That is the beautiness, the power, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your heart doesn't stir with that, for that truth, maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. Or maybe there is a sin in your heart that you have to repent. Find Jesus Christ as beautiful. Spend time with him. Be passionate for the gospel. Recover that fierce love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to find him as beautiful as he really is. A final question. Who is the poet? Who is writing this? Look at verse 1. My heart is stirred by a noble theme. As I recite my verses for the king, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Obviously, a scribe is writing this poem. So he is the king, and he is this poet, this scribe, is lesser than the king. Now, go to verse 17, please. And there is something interesting here. The scribe that is less than the king says to the king, I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. How come a simple poet, a simple scribe, can say to the king, I will perpetuate your name and your generations forever? Doesn't make sense, isn't it? It's like I say the queen, I will make your name great on earth. The queen will look at me and say, Something's wrong with you. You don't realize that I am the queen. You are nothing. And it will be something like that. It has to be something greater than the king. And who is writing this? Who is the person behind it? It's God the Father. God the Father is looking at his son and he's looking at his son and finding him so beautiful, then he said to the son, I will perpetuate your name and your generations, because the son is the perfect image of the Father. And that is the perfect relationship in the Trinity. It is wonderful. It is wonderful when you realize that truth. Let me ask you a final question. What do you find the most beautiful thing? What gives you pleasure? Where does your joy come from? What makes you happy? What makes you sad? Do you really find your pleasure in Jesus? Are you walking according to his ways? What brings you joy in life? What brings you joy? If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying that your wife or your kids shouldn't bring you joy, they are put in there by God to bring you pleasure and to bring you joy, but that is a gift from God. But is your ultimate reason, it's not Jesus. Maybe you have an idol in your heart. Maybe it's the idol of your family. Maybe it's the idol of your profession. Maybe it's the idol of your intelligence. Or maybe it's the idol of ministry. It could be. But look at yourself. Please, my brother, my sister, my friend, test yourself. What idol do you have in your heart? Do you really find Jesus Christ? If it's not, repent and do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. He is the most beautiful thing on earth. Let's pray.